Good day. This is Greg, and I'll be reading the Vermilion County News for Tuesday, April 1st, 2025. And our first story from the front page today is National Weather Service, Sunday's wind speeds top 80 miles per hour. And this is by Amy Graham McCarty. A swift and damaging storm struck Vermilion County Sunday, with wind speeds officially topping 85 miles per hour, according to the National Weather Service. The highest wind speed was around Hoopston, where it measured gusts from 70 to 85 miles per hour, and one unofficial report from nearby of 105 miles per hour. But we have not been able to verify that. NWS for Central Illinois Senior Meteorologist Chris Gielhart said on Monday. Most of the wind damage around Vermilion County was due to strong winds. Area residents suffered damaged roofs and outbuildings in the storms, as well as some uprooted trees. In Bismarck, the side was blown off of a barn owned by Marie Harden. Thankfully, only that barn sustained damages, and we are all okay, Harden said after the storm. Gielhart said the only reported tornado damage was south of Champaign near Tolono. His department was surveying the damage Monday to categorize the tornado. The area could see another strong storm on Wednesday, with wind speeds equal to Sunday's storm, Gielhart said. There is strong potential for damaging wind, large hail, and a few tornadoes possible, he said. The storm will be very broad across the state from northern Illinois all the way down to the southern plains. The latest outlook indicates an enhanced risk, level 3 of 5, for damaging wind gusts, large hail, and tornadoes Wednesday, according to the National Weather Service. Next, we have a royal parade. Princes, princesses, enjoy the spotlight at historic Fisher Theater as part of fundraiser series. And this story is by Kayla White. Princes and princesses from across the land were invited to participate in the royal premiere and parade at the historic Fisher Theater on Saturday, March 29th, and come they did. After spending the morning in the Porsche Club upstairs and being primped with hair tinsel, custom crowns, and temporary royal crest tattoos, as well as taking pointers from adult volunteers dressed as Disney royalty, around 100 children headed down to the theater for their royal parade. When the music started, princes and princesses paraded to the stage from the lobby, walked up on stage, and back up the aisle, waving and smiling at the audience, which was full of parents, grandparents, and admirers. When asked what her favorite part of the day was, 4-year-old Jersey Smith said, "To making a crown," as she stood next to her friend, 5-year-old Emma Sethi. Among those who came out to help guide the young royalty in their first parade included Belle, Cinderella, Tiana, as well as Snow White, who handed out wildflowers, and the fairy godmother, who handed out gift boxes as princes and princesses finished their parade. Participants also went home with a souvenir cup filled with a themed beverage. Some even took part in a scavenger hunt for Cinderella's glass slippers. After all that hard work, the royal guests enjoyed a showing of Tangled and a free box of popcorn. For Miss Westville Labor Day pageant queen Peyton Cox, the event was a great opportunity to connect with kids. "I want to be a teacher when I grow up, so I love little kids. They're super cute. So I got to volunteer and just greet everybody and help with some crafts. I just like putting smiles on little kids' faces," Cox said. The event, organized by the Fisher Theater and sponsored by Shore Wealth Management and others, is part of a series of fundraisers the theater is hosting this year. After years of sitting dormant and nearly being torn down in the early 2000s. The theater reopened on September 21, 2019, thanks to a contribution from Julius W. Hegler II, who funded the physical renovations to the building. Still, in order to open the doors to the public, the board had to take out a $500,000 loan, according to Ashton Greer, board president of the Vermilion Heritage Foundation, a debt they are still paying off. During the renovation, the auditorium, lobby, and second floor were rebuilt with many infrastructure and system improvements. Even so, the board for the Fisher began a fundraising drive in January of 2025 to help cover costs for other necessary improvements. Half of the theater remains unfinished. There are two levels that are completely unfinished above the main lobby, and a large basement below the stage that is in its original state. Currently, we have no dressing rooms or bathrooms backstage, which limits our ability to appeal to many touring acts, Greer said. Since the Fisher does not have an endowment and receives no city or government support via tax dollars, it depends on revenue generated by events like the Royal Parade, among others, as well as donations and grant funding to remain functional. There is only one full-time staff member and two part-time staff members employed at the theater, with the rest of the staff being volunteers. Still, Greer said, it costs $1,000 a day to keep the theater running, or $30,000 a month, leaving the board with a deficit of nearly $11,000 per month on average. The hard truth is that the budget deficit we are experiencing makes it impossible for us to hire additional staff. The lack of staff makes it difficult to open more frequently to the community due to the limitations of being human, Greer said. In order to help get ahead of the issue, the board announced a 2025 fundraiser event series. Aside from the Royal Premiere and Parade, the theater will also be hosting the following events this year. On June 28th, Fake Wedding. Have you ever wanted to crash a wedding? Now you get to, but it's encouraged. Dress in your formal attire and sip on cocktails in the lobby. Find your seats in the auditorium as the most beautiful and elaborate wedding ceremony takes place. Who will the bride and groom be? You'll just have to wait and see. Following the wedding, enjoy delicious food and cake, awkward family toasts, and dancing with the mother of the bride to the music of a surprise band. Party the night away with strangers and friends, celebrating love and marriage. On October 24th and 25th, and October 31st and November 1st, it's the Rocky Horror Picture Show. Four opportunities to experience the Fisher Theater's live production of the Rocky Horror Picture Show. Give yourself over to absolute pleasure. On December 14th, the Polar Bus Express. All aboard the Polar Express. Board the bus off-site in your coziest pajamas and embark on an adventure to the Fisher Theater. Complete with golden tickets, jingle bells, and a hot chocolate stop, you won't be disappointed when you reach the North Pole for a showing of the Polar Express in the Fisher Theater Auditorium. Ultimately, the board is hopeful that their work this year will help them develop a more sustainable business model. If we are not successful, the longevity of the theater is in question, Greer said. To learn more or to donate, check out the theater's website at thefisher.com. In our last front page item today is titled Protecting Renters from Retaliation. Danville's City Council to vote on changes to city code. And this story is by Kayla White. Rental tenants in Danville may soon have stronger protections against retaliatory convictions depending on a vote taking place at Tuesday's City Council meeting. If the ordinance passes, tenants would be required to officially register any complaint against a landlord with the city in writing, either via an online form or by filling out a physical form, which is available through the city. Should a landlord or property manager then take any action against the tenant after the date the tenant submitted their written complaint, those actions shall be deemed evidence that the owner retaliated against the tenant for filing their complaint with the city, according to the language of the amended code. In the event that the city is able to determine and legally prove that a landlord has retaliated against a tenant for filing a complaint, the landlord will be fined for 2 times the tenant's monthly rent, not to exceed $5,000. A lot of tenants in the city are on month-to-month leases, so when they make a complaint about their living conditions and then they're given a 30-day notice, it's legal, but it's not very moral, Williams said. On the other hand, if a tenant files a complaint after receiving a 5, 10, or 30-day notice to vacate the property before their lease ends, the city reserves the right to dismiss the complaint and cancel any scheduled inspection dates. Another key change to City Code Chapter 163 will require tenants who feel they may have been retaliated against to file an official written complaint with the city within 30 days of the allegedly retaliatory action. Phone calls or other conversations with alderpersons or other city officials will not count as an official complaint. After a written complaint is filed, both the tenant and landlord will then be interviewed by the city's legal counsel, who will issue a full report within 7 days, including recommendations for consequences. Our hope is that by implementing these strong protections for our tenants, bad landlords will stop retaliatory evictions for valid complaints, Williams said. The City Council meeting will take place at 6 p.m. Tuesday, April 1st, in the basement of City Hall, located at 17 West Main Street. This will be the last meeting of this council before a new council will be sworn in after Tuesday's municipal elections, depending on election results, which could see 3 incumbent alderpersons replaced by their challengers. Next, we have a staff report titled Night of Magic to Dazzle Danville. And this is a staff report. Get ready for an evening of wonder and laughter as a Night of Magic takes center stage at the Bremer Conference Center at 2000 East Main Street on Saturday, May 3rd, at 7 p.m. This one-night-only event promises a spectacular showcase of illusions, comedy, and jaw-dropping magic, featuring some of the most talented magicians in the Midwest, a news release states. A Night of Magic is a 2-hour magical experience that will include performances from Nick LaCapo, renowned magician and spokesperson for the world's largest online magic retailer, Scott Green, an acclaimed Chicago family magician and featured performer on Penn and Teller Fool Us, John Jansky, local magician and speed painter, blending visual art and magic, Andrew Anderson, beloved local family magician, David Wernick, a skilled local magician with a flair for the impossible, and Christopher Bontes, a local magician bringing amazement and mystery to the stage. Only 200 seats are available for the event. Tickets are $15 for adults and $10 for children aged 12 and under. Tickets can be purchased online at cimagic.weebly.com, or for more details about the show, visit cimagic.weebly.com/A Night of Magic. And now we're going to turn to the obituaries for Tuesday, April 1st. And the first today is for Robert Bob Mariage Sr. Robert Mariage Sr., 93, of Danville, left this earth to be with his Lord and Savior in his heavenly home on Friday, March 28, 2025, at 11:40 p.m. with his family by his side. A celebration of life will be held on Thursday, April 3rd, at noon at Faith Baptist Church, 920 Warrington Avenue in Danville. Pastor Alan Rudy will officiate, and burial will be in Oak Hill Cemetery. A visitation will be held on Thursday, April 3rd, from 10 o'clock till noon at the church. Memorials may be made in Robert's memory to Faith Baptist Church. Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville is assisting the family with arrangements. Betty Smith. Betty Maxine Smith, a cherished soul, was born on December 23, 1926 in Danville and departed this life on March 27, 2025 in her beloved hometown. Visitation for Betty will be held on April 4, 2025 from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center at 3940 North Vermilion Street in Danville, followed by a funeral service at 11 a.m. with Pastor Bruce Parr officiating. Betty Smith leaves behind a legacy of love, faith, and the simple joys of life, forever residing in the hearts of those who knew her. In lieu of flowers, donations may be given to Christ Way Church, 618 East Main Street, Danville, 61832. Eileen A. Hawkins. Eileen A. Hawkins, 93, of Covington, Indiana, passed away Thursday, March 27, 2025, at home. As Jack passed during the pandemic, a celebration of their life will be held Saturday, April 5, 2025, with visitation from 4 to 5 p.m. Eastern and memorial service at 5 p.m. Eastern at the funeral home with Pastor Todd Creason officiating. Memorial contributions can be made in their name to Muncie Baptist Church, 205 North Main Street, Muncie, Illinois. Arrangements have been entrusted to Shelby and Keller Funeral Home at 622 3rd Street, Covington, Indiana, 47932. David Gord. David Bud Gord, Jr., 66, of Danville, died at 6:38 a.m. Tuesday, March 25th, at home. Public viewing will be from 1 to 5 p.m. Thursday at Leek & Sons Funeral Home at 304 East William Street in Danville. Visitation will begin at 11 a.m. Friday at New Life Church of Faith at 1419 North Bowman Avenue in Danville. Funeral services will be at noon Friday at the church, and Pastor Lucius Barber will officiate. Burial will be in Spring Hill Cemetery in Danville. Erwin Richardson. Erwin Richardson, 86, died at 8:48 p.m. Monday, March 24th, at Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana. Visitation will be from 10 a.m. to noon Friday at Catlin United Methodist Church, 106 West Vermilion Street in Catlin. Memorial services for the Army veteran will be at noon Friday at the church. Trevor Otting will be officiating, and burial will be in Jones Grove Cemetery in Catlin. Robison Chapel in Catlin is in charge of the arrangements. And that's the end of the obituaries for this Tuesday. We're going to turn now to a story from the News Gazette by Jennifer Bailey titled Danville Men's Crisis Center, Long Time Coming. Homeless shelter opens following year of challenges. Danville. After clearing several hurdles, Danville Rescue's Men's Crisis Center officially opened at 5 p.m. Monday at 213 North Bowman Avenue in the space that formerly housed the Day Spring Women's and Children's Shelter. Danville Rescue Board President Michael Ewing said 24 beds are now available to unhoused men, including designated rooms for single fathers with children and for transgender men. It's been a long time coming. It's a weight off my shoulders, Ewing said. It's been my and my wife's baby for more than a year. Ewing wasn't sure how many the shelter will see the first few nights. It just depends on the person. Some don't want that hand, but we're going to offer it, he said. Intake started at 5 p.m. Monday, with the bedrooms for overnight stays available on a first-come, first-served basis, Ewing said. There is a no-tolerance policy prohibiting violence, alcohol, and drugs. Ewing said organizers have worked tirelessly over the last year to pay past due bills and finance a new insurance policy. They initially needed to come up with $8,585 with a monthly $2,500 payment to insure this building and the former men's shelter at Bowman Avenue and Fairchild Street. The group finally saved enough in donations and revenue from Danville Rescue's thrift store, he said. They also have one outstanding $950 balance with the Eastern Illinois Food Bank prior to forming a new partnership with the nonprofit. Community support to sustain the crisis center still is needed, Ewing said, be it money for utilities, food donations for hot meals or canned goods, water, and paper supplies. We're just really at the mercy of the community to give food, Ewing said. Ewing hopes the needs are temporary. Once the shelter is more established and staff have time to apply for grants, the financial outlook should improve. He wants to secure enough capital to sustain the shelter. We're stepping out on faith. We believe in God, Ewing said. The Danville Rescue Group has tackled challenges as they've come up, including prepping an inspected building that's up to code. Electrical and plumbing needs have been addressed. Utility debt on the building has been taken care of. Rooms, cots, and beds were ready for overnight guests Monday. A downstairs food pantry also has been cleaned up. The group focused on the former Day Spring shelter due to it being more manageable than the previous men's shelter located in a former school building at 834 North Bowman Avenue. The men's shelter has been closed since April of 2024. Homeless women and children continue to receive assistance at the downtown Crosspoint Human Services Domestic Violence and Transitional Shelter and in other community housing. And next we have another News Gazette story. This one is Infrastructure, a Central Issue in Two Mayoral Races. And this is by Jennifer Bailey. Hoopston. Improving infrastructure is among the top priorities of the candidates running for mayor in two Vermilion County cities in Tuesday's consolidated election. In Hoopston, incumbent Mayor Jeff Wise is being challenged by Tracy Carter, a maintenance manager at Silgan Containers. Wise has served as mayor for 3 years. He taught computer networking and cybersecurity at Danville Area Community College for more than 25 years and retired last year after 3 decades in education. I'm running for re-election because I believe we've made incredible progress in the last 3 years. But there's still a lot that needs to be done, Wise said. I'm dedicated to managing the city's resources responsibly and ensuring that taxpayer dollars are used effectively. We've made many positive changes in Hoopston, and I want to continue to build on that momentum. Consistency and leadership is important to complete the projects that have been started, he added. Ultimately, I'm running for re-election because I love Hoopston, and I'm dedicated to making it the best possible place to live, work, and raise a family. The first thing on the agenda for April is passing Hoopston's yearly budget, according to Wise. Asked what made him a candidate worthy of residents' votes, Carter said, "Years ago, I lived in Rankin and worked for the city, learning all the internal workings of how a town operates. I also manage a budget of $750,000 plus at my current position, which I feel would be beneficial in helping with the city budget." If elected, Carter said priority number one is to look at the infrastructure of Hoopston, along with bringing in new businesses to help with city growth and revenue. Georgetown's mayor of 10.5 years, Darren Ridenour, is facing a challenge from Darren Alexander. "Having lived here my whole life, I care about what happens to my hometown, the people of the community, and the city's employees," Ridenour said. "For the past 20 years on the town council, I've worked hard to keep the city fiscally viable. We are in a solid position, and if re-elected, I will continue to work hard to keep things heading in the right direction, achieving the goals we've set, and keep the city functioning as a unit." Ridenour said his priority the next 4 years would be to address Georgetown's aging infrastructure. "Our town is aging, and keeping up with the improvements is challenging. It includes addressing the water lines, sewer lines, drainage tile, and upgrading water meters in town." And returning to the commercial news for some other local stories, we have Danville man sentenced to 7 years in IDOC for burglary. A Danville man was sentenced March 14 to 7 years in prison for burglary of his neighbor's home. Zachary Spence, 43, pleaded guilty to residential burglary, a Class 1 felony, and was sentenced to the Illinois Department of Corrections. Following his prison sentence, Spence will serve 1 year of mandatory supervised release. The plea was presided over by Judge Mark S. Goodwin. Evidence was presented in court that on May 30, 2024, a residential burglary was reported to the Danville Police Department. The victim reported that she had returned to her residence to find that several items were missing, including several pairs of shoes, a hoverboard, and multiple televisions. The victim became suspicious of her neighbor, Spence, and asked him whether he was responsible for the burglary. Spence asked the victim if she wanted to look around his residence for her items, and she accepted. Once inside the residence, the victim observed the missing hoverboard. Subsequently, Danville police obtained and executed a search warrant for Spence's residence and were able to recover several pairs of the victim's stolen shoes. State's Attorney Jacqueline Lacey thanked the Danville Police Department. She also extended her gratitude to the victim for her courage in coming forward to report the crime to police. And finally, from Community Briefs, we have the Westville Public Library. We'll have a chick-themed preschool program April 2nd at 10 a.m. at the library at 233 South State Street in Westville. Wednesday afternoon at the movies, we'll meet April 2nd at 2 p.m. The library will show Arthur the King, starring Mark Wahlberg. And U of I Extension's meal planning, grocery shopping, and goal-setting program will take place April 28th at 11:30 a.m. Instruction, ideas, and fun are expected at this free program. Those attending will make stir fry while learning about healthy cooking. Call 217-267-3170 to reserve your spot. And that takes us to the end of our time for this Tuesday, April 1st, 2025. Again, my name is Greg, and as always, it's been a pleasure to read for you. I hope you have a splendid day. Take care.